BigTalkRadio.com.
This is Booker T.
Hey, everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million-Dollar Man.
I'm Roddy Piper.
Hey, this is Shawn Michaels.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back inside the square circle to once again bring you Wrestle Talk Radio.
Politically incorrect, and damn proud of it.
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school, from the WWE.
This is Natty Neidhart.
This is Stampede J.T. Wilson.
This is Harry Smith.
This is Gail Kim.
TNA.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
I'm Mojo.
Hi, this is Chrissy Annie, TNA Knockout.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
And the indie scene.
It's still real to me, damn it.
With your hosts.
This is not a door in a logical sense.
Tim Stein.
I'm not up on your young kid lingo.
Spug.
I was rowdy before rowdies at school.
Mace.
See, I just can't stand.
Getty Omega.
We out the
hole. Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's okay to prove yourself as long as you have an act.
Yeah, baby.
Obi Trice, real name, no gimmicks. Two trailer park girls go round the outside, round the outside, round the outside. Two trailer park girls go round the outside, round the outside, round the outside.
Guess who's back?
And welcome to WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Omega's back from his impromptu little four-day vacation. And nobody is here to greet me.
Hi, Omega.
Oh, hi, Tim.
I guess I'm nobody.
You said it, not me.
Well, you implied it, bitch.
Rock, did I lose a bet?
No, if you'd have lost the bet, you'd be doing the show with Spug.
Yeah, but then we just talk geek shit for the whole 2 hours.
Welcome to OTL Sunday Night Special Edition. On tonight's show, who died in the Spider-Man musical? We're still
waiting
11.
For it. Still waiting for it. I don't even think it's going to be one of the actors. I think it's just going to be someone in the crowd when one of the props goes flying through the audience on a bungee cord.
So nobody really, honestly, seriously, nobody's died yet, but everybody's waiting for it.
Everyone is.
Wow.
It's injured so many people, and it's not even actually started yet.
Jesus. Why would they do that? I mean, like, this cursed... Cursed. I mean, this thing is just as bad as that play that shall not be named by William Shakespeare.
I mean, yeah, not only cursed, the fact that, you know, you got so many stars and, you know, everyone getting injured before opening night. It's also the fact that this has been a $40 million sinkhole right now. I mean, it's been the most expensive Broadway show of all time, and it hasn't been able to make one dime back yet because of 6 months of delays, because people keep getting hurt.
By the way, who knows what that play is that shall not be named by Shakespeare?
No.
Do you know what it is, Omega?
I'm not up on my Shakespeare, so unfortunately, no.
Thou is not... well read upon thine bard.
I am an uncultured douche.
Okay, it wasn't Harry Potter the musical, and it wasn't Hamlet either.
Twilight on Ice.
It was it's a story about a king who makes a deal with some witches who can't be killed by normal people, but winds up being killed by somebody who was not of a woman, noble, properly born or whatever, however you want to say it.
King Ralph?
No.
I like that movie.
Nobody in the chat room knows what it is. This is interesting. Nobody's got a, not a, they're trying. A couple of them are trying. A couple of them are trying. I'll give them that much.
Can Googling this really be so hard?
Is it really hard to Google this? I mean, you know, just type in play not named by Shakespeare. Or Shakespeare's cursed play. Come on, you guys. Don't let me down. Work the button on the Google machine.
Can they can they actually spell Shakespeare?
S-H-A, K-E-S, spear. Starting to sound like Rhonda Toof. No, it wasn't Camelot. Nice try, though, Jersey Girl. You know, I have to confess, I'm somewhat disappointed that Jersey Girl didn't get it right off the bat, seeing as she, you know, works in a school. There you go. Tony got it. Congratulations to Tony. Tony, you win absolutely nothing. Woo! That was fun. Can you tell him what he wins, Jay? So, Omega, what's this four-day vacation you were talking about?
I went off to my annual geek convention.
Oh, how were the comic books?
It's not a comic book convention. It was a great time.
There was actually some kind of a geek convention up here last week. Bill Shatner was in town. He got white-hatted by the mayor of Calgary. Also, Kevin Nash and Diamond Dallas Page appeared.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that was that's what happened up here. And no, I didn't go see it. I was too busy teaching my son how to play drums.
It's unfortunate. I found out, because I talked about the convention on OTL this week already,
mm-hmm.
but apparently the best story out of the convention this year didn't happen in public view. And
yeah.
Unfortunately, I didn't hear about the story until Thursday. Or actually Thursday, late Thursday night after we got off the air.
Okay.
And I really wanted Spug to be here for this because he would laugh his ass off. Ow. Because apparently, okay,
Now keep in mind, I'm not your standard geek, so, if I cross my eyes a little bit here, just bear with me.
Okay, do you know what a cosplayer is?
No.
That is someone who makes a hobby of going to these conventions dressed as their favorite character. They make the costumes themselves and everything.
Okay, I just thought they were just called crazy, but whatever.
Oh, crazy too. Some are very impressive, some are, good lord, did you stapled that together, didn't you?
There you go.
Apparently on Saturday, someone had caught two cosplayers out on the Riverwalk doing it in public.
Tell me it was like one of each gender, please.
It was male and female, don't worry.
Okay good.
I'm still trying to figure out who they were dressed as.
Okay, you couldn't figure it out, huh?
I wasn't there.
Ah, okay. Nobody.
The story didn't go that far. They were in costume, but I don't know if they're in some Karma Sutra position that just obscured the costumes or what, but I have not been able to figure out what they were dressed as.
So it wasn't like that episode of CSI where all these people dressed in animal suits and they chuffed each other. You remember that? Remember that episode?
I don't think I'm not big on CSI.
Oh, okay. Well, that's too bad. It was a good. It was a pretty good series when they had the original cast on it.
It's one of those CSI type shows where it's like, okay, they go to investigate someone who had just been killed. They go into his room and he's got a big Transformer collection. They intentionally point out, Transformer collector, obvious pedophile. I'm like, fuck off! Go fuck yourselves!
That just really offends you as a Transformers collector, doesn't it?
Absolutely!
Yeah, well, just stay away from my kid and we'll be fine.
Not on any FBI list.
There you go. Anyway, speaking about kids, Brock, do you want to throw up that picture? Let's show everybody what I've been busy working on here. Just wait for that to come around. It's probably up. There we go. Take a look at that picture. That's a picture I took yesterday, actually, as a matter of fact. That's my son, Owen, at his drum set. What do you think, Omega?
Let me get there.
Take a look. Take a look. Come on, you can do it.
Aw, that's nice.
Picture the his Incredible Hulk poster in the background. He's just banging the skins there. Yeah, so that's what I've been up to. We better probably get rid of that picture now just in case his mother decides to tune in to see what nefarious activities I'm up to. She doesn't like his picture posted on the interwebs. So, but anyway, this is supposed to be a wrestling show, not a geeky rock and roll tune show. So
I was telling sex stories. That's perfectly
okay. Well, listen, you're not Cindy Sin, so
it's kind of like wrestling. She was pinned.
Oy. Too many things I could say about that. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. that's just too wide open.
She.
Yeah, that you think. Yeah, you see.
Bum.
Yeah, you cut me off when I said thing. Anyway, CM Punk. So what do you think? All of this talk about him leaving WWE when his contract expires at midnight at the pretty much the end of the upcoming pay per view Money in the Bank.
So is he turned back into a pumpkin then?
You think?
Be funny.
Holy shit, Mace is in the chat room. How come he's not on the show?
Dude! Mace!
Go in, ya fucker. You're not supposed to be. You're supposed to be in class, you buck.
At lunch? There's no excuse.
He's at lunch. Well, you know, he should have his microphone and headset with him at lunch hour. Just saying.
Why didn't he get that Skype chip and buried into his skull like the rest of us?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So back to CM Punk. What are your overall thoughts on WWE promoting that it's his last day?
Kind of shocked, really. I mean, it's very rare when they do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing: is it storyline? Do you think that they're going along with it, but they'll probably have like an 11th hour deal? And whether he wins or loses the title, he winds up announcing as soon as the main event is over. Let's face it, this will be the main event, right? It's John Cena.
John Cena. Of course it will be.
He announces, oh, we just signed a deal, and I didn't win the title tonight, so I can't leave until I do.
That's kind of difficult. Win or lose, you could spin it to where he would still be sticking around. Either where he's, you know, whether he invokes a rematch clause to stick around one more month, or, oh, I won the championship, so I guess I can't leave yet.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's what he said. He wants to leave with the title. Now, what are the odds WWE is going to let that happen? They let it happen twice, and one of the two times they let it happen, the damn thing wound up in the garbage down in Atlanta.
Well, they did just try and do that. It wasn't too long ago where Trish Stratus retired that way, going out, winning a championship, and
that was the second time I was referring to.
Yeah, nothing ill came of that, and it's not like CM Punk's leaving on bad terms or anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his contract is expiring; he wants time off.
Yeah,
perfectly understandable. Well, it's not like he's going to jump to TNA.
Yeah. Mace is figuring that Punk's gonna swerve all of us, and I'm kind of sort of on board with Mace. However, I could see him pulling a Jericho and basically buggering off for a year before he comes back.
Cases like Jericho makes me, or that's really what makes me hesitate to say this is some kind of swerve or storyline. But
yeah,
it's when someone like Punk or Jericho, gets in that mindset, okay, I'm done for a while, need to go take a break. Especially in this case when it's not like an MVP where I asked for my contract. I asked for my release, or a Chavo Guerrero, which we'll get into.
Yeah, we'll get to that in just a sec. But, talking about all of this makes me really, really want to see Y2J decide to come back. Seriously. I mean, they can only have Shawn Michaels show up on Raw, just so many times. Sure, he's going to get a pop every time, but he's not wrestling anymore. He's not gonna, violate that honor that, that Undertaker.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He's not gonna pull a Ric Flair.
Yeah, I was about to say that. Some people actually stick to their retirement when they lose at Mania. Rick.
Yeah, Rick. I mean, like, that just smacks of hypocrisy to me, Ric Flair doing shit like that. You know that, Sean and, I'm gonna actually officially begrudgingly announce this on the air. Everybody knows my feelings about Shawn Michaels personally.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I've never really, dug the person. The character, sure. The character, and don't get me wrong, I've always given him credit where credit is due. I've not ever been one of those people to, run him down into the ground just because I hate him. I've never agreed with that. I think that's a bullshit thing. You give somebody kudos when they deserve it. He deserves the kudos he's gotten. Most of them. He, in the last year of his run in WWE and everything that happened after it, you know, he did prove to me a couple of things, and begrudgingly, you know, I give him a little bit more respect because of it.
One thing I did admire about HBK's last run is that he is such a big star and he was so in with management and writing. He could have had that title run anytime he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was far more concerned with, you know, entertaining fans, storyline, and getting the younger talent over.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that impressed me. He was not there for himself like he used to be.
Right.
You know, he was not one of the most vocal of the group. But he was among those people that were saying, this is my spot, you can't have it. Come and try to take it from me. And then hiding behind Vince because he's all buddy-buddy or, you know, married to his daughter or something.
just in case that illusion wasn't thin enough for anybody out there.
There you go, yeah. One thing I've decided is to seriously reconsider whether or not we're going to continue using Ustream, by the way, as a, you know, a bit of an aside. I've noticed it was brought to my attention and it's finally started happening to me. They're running ads in the middle of our broadcasts.
Oh, like
as
one
opposed
of those...
just at the beginning.
Okay, is one of the, one of those dumbass ads where it's like a commercial break and just completely cuts us off.
Without us knowing about it. I mean, if we knew about it, then we could prepare for it and shit like that. But, I don't know. There are a couple of different ways we could go. And if we, force everybody to use a, either Internet Explorer or an Internet Explorer clone, then we could, stick with the Shoutcast video source or give everybody a link to watch it, in their own Winamp, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do something like that. And then we could be a little freer with our broadcasts and not have to be quite so censored. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true. That's going to be difficult to get everyone on board to that, especially, you know, especially your casual tune in, you know, we, you know, just found the place kind of listener.
Yeah.
Because
well,
you got Firefox and Chrome these days, which are as popular or gaining more popularity than Internet Explorer is.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things that pisses me off about Firefox and why I won't drink the water or the Kool-Aid or whatever you want to call it. You know, if you know what I'm saying.
Tim, be one of us. One of us.
You see, fuck you. The browser I use is called Avant Browser, A-V-A-N-T. It's a great browser. It's pretty much built around the Internet Explorer engine, but it's a lot lighter, a lot faster. A lot more secure, and it's got such unbelievable functionality. It's incredible. I mean, how many times do you have to go to a website and log in, Omega?
Fairly often.
Right? Pretty often, right? This thing, you can actually store, separately from your regular bookmarks. It's called autofill, you know, and a lot of browsers are starting to pop up with this, but you can store the website, the login, and the password. You can password protect that, and nobody can get into it unless you want them to get into it. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
So, And
because Firefox does the thing where it autofills a password, but it doesn't, as far as I know, it does not password protect that function.
Yeah, this one you can password protect it. Just to answer Ustreamer 354295 in the chat room, why do you need a video player or your radio show? We do play a lot of video. A lot of
Did
the stuff.
Did you just see the picture?
Yeah, we do. We throw out pictures and video and stuff like that. And as a matter of fact, coming up very, very soon, we're going to let you guys watch some independent professional wrestling on that video player. So it's not really a radio show as opposed to an online entertainment show. I guess you could say that. But yeah, I've been swinging the deal with a couple of independent pro wrestling people. So, but if this keeps up, I think that we might take a look at changing the players. So, but anyway, back to
wrestling.
Let's get back to the wrestling news and all that other wonderful stuff. What are your final thoughts about CM Punk? Is he leaving, or is this a swerve?
I don't think so. He's gone.
Yeah, you think he's gonna go?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so what does he do? Does he take some time off? Does he entertain offers maybe from TNA? Does he take a look at what's going on with Ring of Honor?
He's going to entertain offers from TNA and Ring of Honor just to laugh at them.
Yeah. You don't think you don't think he's going to show up on Impact Wrestling on Thursdays?
He's on such good terms with the WWE. If he wanted to work a lighter schedule, he probably could. If it was just that. Since he's not being fired, he's not asking for his release, he's just, hey, my contract is up. Time to take a break.
Which goes back to what I said about him pulling a Jericho.
Yeah. It just seems like he wants some time off to me. Like there's nothing really, secretive or, he's not jumping ship. You know, he's got an open door to come back to WWE anytime he wants.
Yeah. Well, I'm not really thoroughly 100% convinced he's going to go to Ring of Honor. I do feel, however, that would be the most viable choice for him, and I would not be surprised to find out. However, you remember when he left Ring of Honor, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Beats Austin Aries, wins the championship, sticks around for an extra 2 months.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. So, I still don't see, like, if he's leaving, I just don't see WWE letting him leave as a champion.
No, they're not going to pull that one.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I guess we'll just have to wait for the pay-per-view to find out, hey?
That is what we're supposed to be buying the pay-per-views for.
Yeah. Tell you what. Why don't we take our first break of the evening, and then we can come back, talk a little bit of news and notes, including the latest WWE releases and a couple of other things going down in the world of professional wrestling right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. Sound good, Omega?
Yeah, I can do that.
All right, everybody stick with us. We'll be back in just a bit. Open up the phone lines, let you call in, and give you your shot. We'll be right back after this.
All I've ever wanted was
It is time once again for the annual Mario Marathon, now in its fourth year over at www.mariomarathon.com. Starting Friday the 24th of June and lasting as long as your donations allow it to continue, Join the extensive Mario Marathon crew as they play their way through the history of Super Mario Brothers, all in the name of donations for the Child's Play charity. So please, head on over to MarioMarathon.com from Friday and donate so the guys can keep playing and the sick kids can get some of the games that we take for granted. So once again, head over to www.MarioMarathon.com or else, game over.
In case you missed it, this is what happens when WTR roasts Tim Stein.
Tim Stein is also not Jewish. It's horrible to assume the man is Jewish just because his name is Stein. You know, maybe that isn't even his real name. I mean, it's probably Goldstein or Steinberg. You don't know. He'd tell you himself if he were here tonight. And I'm told he's taking the day off for some holiday of his. I don't remember what it's called, but he pronounced it with a...
Tim really does work hard at making the WTR network what it is. Seriously, I'm not joking. Somebody pay this guy. He's like 65 years old. He needs retirement. He gets retirement. We get less Tim Stein. It's win-win, gang. Come on.
Happy birthday. You suck. You suck. You suck so bad. That's not true. You don't actually suck. You more or less blow. You've got a perfect face for gay porn, or at least a perfect mouth. That's what JJ tells me.
He's also not a pervert. The last couple of years, he had a wonderful and healthy relationship. He stayed with her every night, constant, wild sex. You know, it's sad when they had to break up because he couldn't find the puncture repair kit. Don't get me wrong, they tried to patch things up, but Tim just couldn't bear the sight of her anymore. Not with a duct tape holding her neck closed.
Tune in to all the great programming on the Wild Talk Radio Network, as you never know what will happen next.
Here's a quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What? You expect me to be funny? We do that on the show! So tune in! Listen! I demand it.
And now, a message to our competitors. Thanks for tuning us in.
Ooh, yeah!
On June 28th, Wild Talk Radio Network gets lethal, as in Jay Lethal. Join me, Alan Logic, as we welcome Jay Lethal not only into my home, but into yours as we talk everything from his days in Ring of Honor, his time in TNA Wrestling, and what's next for the former Black Machismo. Get the real inside scoop as Jay Lethal will be uncensored on Tuesday night, June 28th, on Online World of Wrestling Radio, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels. And you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Ooh, chavo. Chavo, todo mundo.
And welcome back, WTR, Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, a place for everybody to come bullshit about shit that pretty much normally has stuff to do with professional wrestling. Right, Omega?
I'm currently horrified at the moment.
What are you currently horrified about, dude?
Well, someone just pointed me toward a picture. The Cars 2 movie that's come out.
Uh-huh.
Where they make references to, like, the Pope Mobile, since the Pope Mobile is also a living car.
Okay.
There is now a toy Pope mobile.
Oh God.
From this movie, and a toy Pope.
Okay, that just brings up a whole new set of Catholic jokes concerning kids. Yeah, I went there. Anyway, just in case you guys are some of you one or two might be first timers to checking out the program, you decide you don't hate us and don't mind wasting a couple hours here and there whenever we come on the air. If you can't hit the interwebs, Omega, did you know that you could listen on your mobile device to any of the programming on the Wild Talk Radio Network?
Really? Do tell, Tim.
All you gotta do is go to http://. That's like how I do that. Nobody does that anymore. Just go to wtr.wirenode.mobi. That's spelled M-O-B-I. wtr.wirenode, W-I-R-E-N-O-D-E dot mobi, M-O-B-I. And you can tune in on your wireless device. Isn't that cool?
That is very cool and convenient. Thank you, Tim.
You're very welcome. So, yeah, I know a few people who actually do that. There's one person at the store that I'm working at this week doing the job that I do who I know for a fact is working close, so he's actually tuned into the show at the store while he's working on his wireless device.
Hi, person at work.
Yeah, there you go. Hi, person at work in Calgary. There. Oh, hey, now he'll pop because he knows you're talking about him. And for those of you
just got him in trouble at work.
Yeah, there you go. Actually, you can't get him in trouble because he owns the store. Anyway, okay. for those of you, who are listening to the show and have access to a telephone, you want to call in and talk about anything to do with professional wrestling, all you got to do is pick up the phone and hit the following digits, 267-297-1397. Long distance charges may apply depending on your telephone account, basically. If you have Skype, you can save yourself any potential long distance charges by Skyping Sir Rockin. Call in, talk about anything to do with professional wrestling, stuff we talked about, stuff we haven't brought up yet. That's okay, it doesn't matter. We'll accept your call and we'll bullshit with you. What the hell, right? There you go.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So, anyway, that being said, hey, Chavo. We came in with his music, and that's probably one of the very last times we'll ever hear it.
Ay.
Getting released by the WWE is Eddie's nephew, Chavo. Now, answer me this. What is the likelihood that basically the final nail was at least started on this coffin? And, yeah, I know it's a terrible pun to be using the word coffin when we're talking about a Guerrero, sorry. But the two matches he had against Shin Kata, where he kind of screwed those up, Omega.
I don't think it's so much his little feud with Sin Cara. I mean, that was unfortunate because I think, oh, my God, they're finally using Chavo to some degree.
Yeah.
Good Lord, maybe they'll finally do something with him. No, yeah. Of course not. I think the final straw to this was WWE, you know, realizing, well, you know, Rey Mysterio's breaking down like your grandpa's gremlin. You might need to replace
him. My grandpa had a gremlin.
It's a hunch.
Anyway.
Since we're really big in Latin America right now, we need some more, you know, Latino superstars. And it's, you know, Chavo is in the back of the room with his arm up going, ooh, ooh, me, third generation, Eddie, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, uncle died, hello? Mm-hmm. No, we're gonna bring in somebody brand new and give them a monster push.
Yeah, well,
we're going to squash you to get him over.
The one thing that's bothered me concerning Chavo, and, you know, I don't want to say anything bad. I don't want to say something that's going to be misconstrued, but the fact of the matter is Chavo doesn't have the talent Rey Mysterio has. That has to be accepted as a given. Okay?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay? Chavo was nowhere near as talented as Eddie. Right?
Right.
But Chavo is very talented nonetheless. It's just they're just two different, you know, like, well, three different types and three different levels. And unfortunately, Chavo's on the lower of the three levels. So it's understandable that he didn't get that push when Eddie died. It went to Ray. I don't think that it ever should have gone to Mysterio just because he's Eddie's friend. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
You know, I'm not trying to dig up ghosts or take us back a few years or anything like that. But, you know, and JJ even pointed it out when we had the original WTR, right? And, you know, ever since Ray started holding that title, they dropped the word heavyweight. You know, he's world champion. Everybody else is the world heavyweight champion. He was just world champion.
Yeah.
Yep. And, we've got to give Mace props, even though he's not here. And I'm not saying this because he's in the chat room listening to make sure that he gets his props, but he did point it out, and I'm just pointing it out, too. He deserves the props for actually calling Chavo's
release.
Yeah, he turned into a dog and put a leash back.
Yeah, we unleashed Chavo, and then we've released him.
Yeah, Chavo's release. There we go again. But Chavo's release. Thank you very much. Put down the booze. You can't
enunciate, goddammit.
Yeah, English, motherfucker. Do you speak it? All right, that's an homage to Mace. Anyway, yeah. He called it with the botch match against Sin Cara when it happened that night. I remember that happening too. As you know, most of us get together on Skype and talk with each other when Raw's going on. I never join in because I don't bother streaming it on the interweb, so I just let it play with that 15-minute delay on my television. But anyway, so what's next for Chavo now that he's no longer in WWE? Is he pretty much going to disappear from the national scene? What do you think?
TNA World Champion in 3 months.
Well,
he'll end up in TNA. He'll be mid card there.
Yeah.
You know, I don't see him as the CM Punk type or the Jericho type. You know, he'll get back into it, you know, as soon as he can. And if TNA gives him a phone call, he'll be in Florida.
Yeah. Well, I can't see him saying no if he gets the bug, but right now, you know, he wants to spend time at home with his family, and that's perfectly fine. The WWE schedule, as everybody knows, is pretty damn grueling. You're on the road anywhere from 250 to 300 days a year.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of guys are able to, you know, fly home and then fly out to where they have to go to work, and they work 4 day weeks and then come home for two. You know, yeah, I know that's only six, but, you know, total travel times winds up being a full day for all intents and purposes. So, you know, two days at home out of a week. So, yeah, you know, unless your kid absolutely hates you and your wife would prefer to have sex with your neighbor, I think that they probably wouldn't mind having you home a little more often now that you're out of the WWE. So, but, I wouldn't be too surprised to see any kind of an appearance by Chavo in TNA, but not anytime soon, Omega. Not anytime soon.
Yeah, not anytime soon, but it would not surprise me if that's where he ends up next.
Now, I haven't really paid a hell of a lot of attention to wrestling news sites on the interwebs since his release. I've been a little bit too busy, but has anybody bitched, moaned, cried, and complained that Chavo got released, but Vicky is still there?
Someone actually did collect Vicky's opinions on Chavo leaving. It's, you know, as usual, you know, we love him, wishing the best, etc. Blah blah. I haven't seen anyone really ragging on, you know, Vicky in this case.
No. But then
again, that's a constant anyway, so it's kind of, you know, it just seems like one more drop in the ocean at this point.
Yeah, well, I'm half expecting one or two people to say something in the next day or two. You know what I mean? I'm not pointing anybody out. I'm not taking shots or anything like that. So please, Monday Night Mayhem, fuck off and quit sending me.
I think at this point, you know, it was just obvious. Like, good on Chavo for, you know, realizing after the Sin Cara incident that, you know, they are never going to take me seriously. Time to get the fuck out. You know, manning up and, you know, saying, okay, I need to take time off. I need to find greener pastures. Good on him. At this point, though, I think most of the, at least the internet wrestling community, I hate to use those terms because, it breeds bad memories of any, but.
Shake it off, Omega. Shake it off. You can do it. You can do it, motherfucker. You can do it.
Was it they called us booger eaters at one time?
Something like that.
Dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. Shit happens. You gotta remember that, I'm not saying that we're better than anybody else or we're, you know, above anybody else or anything like that. And there's a whole bunch of places out there, you know, they win awards for whatever fucking reason and good on them. I don't care. We're never going to win an award. And, that's perfectly fine by me. I'm not here to, you know, win an award and say, hey, look what we did. I do the show because I don't mind talking about wrestling when I show up, you know. It's,
anyway. I don't know. The problem here is that it's look how much Chavo's been used lately.
Or how little.
Exactly my point. You know, writing was on the wall. I mean, I don't think anyone would have been surprised if he had gotten cut, after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
If he was part of spring cleaning this year.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm about to say something that's probably going to piss off a couple of people. As far as releases go, WWE needs Vicky more than they need Chavo.
Tim?
Yeah?
You feeling okay, man?
Well, there's a reason for it.
Listen to yourself. Listen to yourself. You're backing Vicky. You're complimenting Vicky. Okay.
Slow up. Let me defend my fucking self, bitch. Stop and think about it. Who garners more reaction? Vicky or Chavo?
God, that's like saying Vicky or Dean Malenko. I mean, of course you're not going to garner a reaction when you never see the motherfucker.
Yeah, well, you know, there you go. When you did see the motherfucker, who garnered more reaction? Vicky causes the fans to react. And you get all of these, you know, internet smarks, some people that we know quite well on this show, Omega, who love to debate whether the type of heel he gets, somebody gets, is good heat or bad heat.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're audacious and really not thinking enough to bring that up when you're talking to a guy like Jerry the King Lawler, not that I'm taking a pot shot there, hey Rock. But anyway, you get what I'm saying. You don't bring something like that up to somebody that's working in the show. You know, you don't talk about the right kind of heat versus the wrong kind of heat. It's heat. It's a reaction. That is what, as somebody running a company, wants to see. You hate the person with all your might. You're going to react to that person, whether it's, oh, I love to hate, you know, your favorite heel, or you just absolutely despise the person so much you throw Nerf balls at your TV until he or she is off. You're reacting.
Yeah.
And a reaction is, at the end of the day, a reaction is a positive. Go ahead.
Yeah, we used to talk about X-Pac heat, which I will still support. You know, there is such a thing as the X-Pac heat, where, you know, it's a wrestler in the ring. You don't want to see him at all. He's not worth your money. And you just, you know, they get a bad reaction for, you know, just the fact that you don't want to see them out there. You know, you just can't help but dislike this person. But we are in an age of a very particular type of heat, which is the Vicky Guerrero or, more appropriately, the Michael Cole heat, where they know people intentionally hate this guy. They're not playing along. They freaking hate them.
Oh, somebody should just punch Michael Cole in the dick.
That you're right. Because that is the whole reason that they keep that up, and that's why they push Michael Cole or Vicky Guerrero down your throats, because they...
It's because we react to them the way we do, whether we think it's, you know, bad heat or X-Pac heat.
No. Let me finish.
Go ahead. Well, I'm just doing what you did to me, interrupting. Go ahead.
I interrupted you before you got on a roll. I didn't stop you right in the middle of a poignant moment.
You bastard.
They don't care. Like, they know that we absolutely hate seeing this person. We hate having this person shoved down our throats. Cannot see him. Absolutely. But when it's a non-performer in there, the payoff isn't in the reaction they get. It's in the reaction to them getting payback. You know, when you have, you know, when you have a diva, you know, when the many times you've heard Vicky fired, and the pop that raises from that, or when Michael Cole gets knocked the hell out in the middle of the ring, it is an enormous positive response. Because you wanted to see that happen so damn badly.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right? You know, Bruce Hart at Stampede Wrestling did something similar with a referee here. He turned a referee heel at Stampede Wrestling when he was booking the show for his dad after his dad was too old to do it anymore. And he decided that this referee would side with all the heels, and he'd mess up, and we see it in bits and pieces every now and then when they use the special guest referee who gets a cramp just at the count of two, or decides to find something really fascinating on the edge of the ring right when the good guy rolls the bad guy up for the pin or whatever. He had this guy doing this, and it wasn't just one show. It wasn't two shows. It wasn't a month. It wasn't 2 months. This went on for an entire year. The fans were ready to literally... No word of a lie. Seriously, kill this fucking kid, this referee. I mean, he had to be escorted out of the building to his car by security, like real honest to God security, not, you know, independent wrestling volunteers who walk around and look like they're important, but like real security guards for his own well-being. Finally, a year later, the payoff comes. He has the shit kicked out of him by one of the wrestlers, and the crowd exploded. It's in Bruce Hart's book, as a matter of fact. The one that just came out. I can't remember the name of it right now. Ugh! Still have to read the damn thing in its entirety. But, I mean, Bruce overdid the angle. It was a great one. He went too long with it. He should have shortened it down.
Well, what it is, the angle, basically, when you work that angle, it's basically a piggy bank. Mm-hmm. And the longer you keep feeding that piggy bank, the bigger of a reward you get when it's time to pay out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But,
there's
only so much room in the piggy bank, though.
Yeah. So. But anyway, Chavo, thanks for the memories. You had some good moments in the ring as well as some botch moments. But I'm sure we'll see him pop up. I wouldn't mind going to a Prairie Wrestling Alliance show here in Alberta and finding out that they booked Chavo for a one-off. I wouldn't mind seeing him put on a little bit of a show live.
Well, of course not.
Yeah, so that'd be kind of fun. Anyway, moving on. I am going to definitely... yeah, shut up, Rock. I'm going to definitely get this DVD when it comes out. I guess it's coming out in the fall. Brett the Hitman Hart. Yeah, okay, shut up. Before you go anywhere, shut up, let me finish. Brett the Hitman Hart and the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, recently sat down with good old JR. New DVD to be released this October, Omega.
This was fascinating to hear about over the Twitters. Because it was apparently this completely no-holds-barred sit-down discussion with both of them right there.
Were you all Twitter about the announcement? See what I did there?
Yes, Tim, you are very clever.
Yes, I'm very punny. I'll stop punishing you, though. Go ahead.
funny.
Anyway, just shut up.
It was fascinating because, okay, granted, the Survivor Series thing has been done to death. The Montreal screw job, we all know it at this point. This is finally something new.
mm-hmm.
in regards to that. It's the two sitting down, you know, and hammering it out in person.
Well, here, you brought it up. You know, it's not just the Montreal Screwjob anymore. We're going to hear more stuff. Like, do you figure it's going to be like 4 hours of how they were friends when they were both just starting out in WWF together, and then things turned, and then they started hating each other, and Shawn Michaels alluded to Bret Hart fucking Sonny, and Bret getting really mad by because, you know, Shawn brought his family into it by bringing this up, and, you know, I'm going to be in trouble now for talking about it the way I am. But anyway, you know what I'm saying, right? And then leading up to the screw job, and that's the payoff, is the reunion on Raw, January a year ago, where Shawn came out and hugged Bret. Bret actually hugged him back, and they buried the hatchet. Or are they, you figure it's going to go like totally in depth into everything that was going on? Because I want to hear what both of these guys thought of, you know, Hulk Hogan, as opposed to seeing Shawn Michaels digs at the Hulkster the day after the pay per view, where he had to do the job for Hulk with that killer leg drop. You know what I'm talking about?
Right, right.
I have to admit it, and I'm not a gossip or anything like that normally, but I want some dirt from these guys about the entire fucking locker room, not just each other.
There's a part of me that just wonders, how in depth and how no holds barred can this interview possibly be? Can I actually hear JR ask Bret, okay, seriously, how good was Sonny in bed?
Don't think it's gonna get that no holds barred.
I mean, of course there's gonna be a limit somewhere in here, but when you say...
Yeah, definitely, you're not gonna hear them talking to each other about how she said he was better and how he said she was better, and you know, all of a sudden, you know, you hear the two of them arguing about who she said was, you know, like more well endowed. I don't think it'll get that that involved. I was gonna say in depth, but that just brings a whole another level of. down dirtiness. We don't want to do that. We don't want to sink quite that low. Again. Well, too late. We already did. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't want to go down there.
Yeah. Ooh. What? We weren't talking about Lita.
Come on.
Give me points. I deserve it.
God, why you even put that thought in my head?
Yeah, there you go. I that was a field goal, dude. That was 3 points.
I feel my taste buds burning off.
Not even going to touch that one. Forget it. No.
I wouldn't touch it either. Nope. Tell me something wrestling related.
Anyway, yeah, so, expected the, DVD, released October. I'm gonna guarantee you right now it's double DVD.
Oh, no, yeah. They're gonna milk this as much as they can.
So I don't think it's going to be a boring one at all. But, you know, talking about boring, the 3-hour Raw last week. Can you say oops with a big fat O?
Oh my God. Here's the thing. There's some in there where I can admit, okay, they probably did screw this up pretty bad.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'll cry conspiracy on a lot of this.
Yeah. Like, well, I was telling Rock, bull fucking shit. This is shenanigans. That's all there is to it, man.
Oh yeah, because there's no way WWE could not have seen those results for, you know, the Evan Bourne match, and gone, oh hey, obviously they want to see Mason Ryan in there.
Yeah.
No.
That's where I call bullshit, Rock. Are you kidding? Batista in against Evan fucking Airborne?
Yeah. The second they saw that Sin Cara got like 90, like they reported Sin Cara got like 90%
of the vote. 90%
of the vote,
yep.
As soon as they saw that, they realized, oh crap, this is a money match. Make up whatever random numbers you want. Throw Mason Ryan out there because he's our new Batista, and the crowd makes it obvious every time he comes out.
Yeah. Well, here's the wrench into that work, and it's going to happen tomorrow night. That is the money match. However, they're giving it away for free because of the vote screw up tomorrow night. And I'll tell you, if I don't watch any other matches on Raw tomorrow, that will be the one that I am glued to. I'm, you know, that if I wasn't watching Raw on a regular basis anymore, that would get me to tune in just to see that match.
Here's the trick. You are right. That is a money match.
Yep.
I think it's a little too money. Like, I can see this going for about 3 minutes to tease before Mason Ryan comes in there and starts screwing things up. Move it to a feud with Sin Cara.
Yeah, you fucker. This is something I've been trying to avoid thinking about, but I can't now, thanks. That's what really scares me. I want, you know, the average WWE match is what, 5 minutes long after ring entrances?
Yeah, something like that.
You know, I want a good 10 minutes out of these guys to build up towards your 30-minute pay-per-view spectacle between the two of them. I don't want Batista coming out and fucking things up, but they have to do that, almost, just to keep it from going too long.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because it's definitely a match you, like, unfortunately, there's a bean counter back there going, no, this match is money. We need people to pay to see this.
Yep.
Have you seen some of our pay-per-view cards lately?
Yeah, no.
We kind of need the boost.
Yeah, but at the same time, Money in the Bank is coming up, Omega. What a way to showcase these two fucking guys.
Oh boy.
They're both going to be in ladder matches.
This is true.
I mean, you know, give us a good 10 minutes tomorrow night, please. We know you're going to send Batista out there to break it up, or you're going to do something like that. I mean, yeah, you know, yeah, WWE listens to absolutely everything we do, and they, at the last second, change things because we basically, you know, spoil what they're going to do on live TV.
which is why we need to talk about Mason Ryan interrupting this match on Monday.
Yeah. Well, wouldn't it be better to see CM Punk interrupt it just because he's wanting to be a... There we go. Just confused things completely. Anyway, I tell you what. Why don't we take our second time out of the night? We'll come back, talk a little bit about Matt Hardy. Sorry.
Sure.
Okay, everybody, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Rust Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere, or you'll miss what we're talking about next. We'll be back right after this.
Every Tuesday night, wrestling's biggest name stop by OWW Radio.
Hey, this is World War Animal. This is Rick, the Model Martel.
This is the King of Old School, Keith Reno.
It's me. It's that D-O-double-G. This is George the Animal Steel.
Tune in as Alan Wojcik and his contributors bring you the online world of wrestling radio Tuesday nights at 9 Eastern.
If you want some, come get some.
Only on Wild Talk Radio Network on wildtalkradio.com.
19-2-6 back, sucker!
I hear voices in my head. They counsel me. They understand. They talk to me.
Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present. Such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and Wrestle Talk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Mad Mania, climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling.
www.audiowrestling.com.
And check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling.
Keeping you tuned in.
Since 1996.
Thank you.
Wild Talk Radio. The network everyone else steals from.
The following is the resume of Tim Stein. The inventor of the light bulb. The creator of the internet. A professional grass waterer. And, of course, the real voice of wrestling radio. While only some of these things are true, what really is true is that Wild Talk Radio Network is part of the social media revolution.
Holy crap, dude!
And you can be too. How do you ask? It's simple. All you have to do is like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
Aw, you guys doing that stupid Facebook stuff again?
And by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/Wild Talk Radio.
Kick ass, dude!
This is the way you can stay up to date on all things Wild Talk Radio. Do it today, or Tim Stein will chase you off your lawn.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Matt Hardy, the creator and owner of thehardyshow.com. Make sure to check us out. And you are listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Wrestling Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Before we carry on, we've got to address something that Tony Ogan in the chat room said. Sin Cara is too much of a bunch of maniac to be on live TV. I, sir, disagree. I don't think they've found the right people who can work with him properly, which makes him look like a botch fest. What do you think, Omega?
I have seen a lot of his spots ruined because someone he was with in the match did not know where to position themselves, didn't know how to move right, just didn't know how to work with them. I mean,
well,
even we got a rub from John Cena, and Cena botches his finish, Sin Cara's finish, because you know he doesn't even know where the hell to pull his opponent into the ring at.
Yeah. Well, you know, everybody's entitled to their opinion, and I just wanted to point out to Tony that in this instance, your opinion's wrong. What do you think, Spug is joining us?
I am joining you, because I'm driving home from a show.
Vroom, vroom. So what do you think? Is Sin Cara a botchamaniac, or is it what we said? It's because the other people
in WWE... I think it's a little of both.
Yeah?
I think it's a little of both. I think partly is that Sin Cara doesn't know how to slow himself down enough to work with the guys in the WWE. You got to remember, we're coming up on, you know, 7-8 years now of no light heavyweight division within the WWE with guys that can move like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a bit of a problem. The other big deal is that the guys in the WWE have been slowed down so much and had their not necessarily their move set, but maybe their work rate in the ring slowed down to the point where even guys that wrestled in Mexico or wrestled in Japan with guys like Mystico, you know, you have Carlito's brother, I can't remember his name, save my soul at this moment in time.
Primo.
Yeah, Primo Colon, Chavo Guerrero. Come on, if Chavo Guerrero can't work with somebody else from Mexico, we have a problem.
Yeah, with Chavo Guerrero. He's the one that screwed up that finish where that caused Sin Cara to have to redo it.
I don't think that Chavo was the problem. I don't think it was all his fault. I think part of it has to do with the fact that he and Mystico come from two completely separate two completely separate worlds. And with Chavo being in the WWE as long as he's been slowed down to the point where he can't work the way he used to in WCW and even back in Texas and Mexico.
Yeah.
And that's a big problem. If you want to bring international stars in, then you need to make sure that you have a talent pool that is capable of working with them. If not, you need to get a talent pool that is capable of working with them.
Yeah, well, how do you think he performed against Daniel Bryan, Omega first?
I'm not even... Actually, I'm hesitant to respond because I don't think I saw that match.
You did?
Which time?
Either time. Take your pick. I mean, the first one, it was a little bit of a, like, what the fuck, because this is the first time these two were working together, really.
The first time was a little bit slow and a little bit uneasy, yeah. But it went off well, and then the second time it went off well. So I've seen them, not, you know, from start to finish, but I've seen them in chunks. I've seen enough to So Daniel Bryan is one of those guys. He's like Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
He can work with anybody.
Yeah, he can work with anybody.
Yep. It's like, what do they say about Ric Flair? He could have a match with a broom and put the broom over.
Right? See, I don't think Ric Flair's that good. I think Ricky's that good.
Ricky is that good, and I think Daniel Bryan is that good. I think the first match between Bryan and Kara was, like you said, Spike, it was kind of like a feeling out process. It was like round one of a 10-round heavyweight fight. You try to gauge each other and see what you're up to.
The second one was just uneasy. I mean, the first one was uneasy. The second one was good.
Yep.
And so I mean, I would like to see more of them. I think him and Sin Cara and Daniel Bryan could have a good series. And I really do. I've noticed this lately that WWE is starting to simplify things. They're not real story late, you know, story heavy, you know, laden with all kinds of drama. I mean, Jack Swagger and Evan Bourne wrestled at Capital Punishment last weekend and put on a hell of a match before the main event.
Yep.
And there was really no story behind it. I like that. Either the WWE is listening to us, or they're finally getting the hint that you do not have to be as drama filled as an afternoon episode of General Hospital.
Yeah, I mean, if you want drama along that line, then go and watch General Hospital.
Right. You know, I don't need. I work two shows this weekend. Three matches.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sore as fuck.
Well, don't be taking any Oxycontin or Percocets.
Nope. I'm driving home right now. I tell you what, though. I wrestled a show for a promotion called UXWA last night.
Yeah.
And it was weird because the bell time was at 3:30.
Yeah.
Which, we were the opening act for another promotion whose bell time was 7.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, that's kind of cool. You know, I wrestled twice at the UXWA show. I wrestled with both gimmicks, masked and unmasked. And then after the show's over, I'm standing there talking to a couple of guys and BSing. And one promoter for IWA Ohio comes up to me and says, "You want to come work with us?"
Yeah.
Sure. When? Tomorrow night. All right? What time is bell time? 8 o'clock.
Huh.
Not a problem. I'll be there. I get home, and the wife goes, "You do realize that that your uncle's barbecue's tomorrow?" And I'm like,
Shit.
I was like, fuck. My uncle is home on leave for about 3 weeks from Iraq.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
He got home Friday. He's been home like 2 days, so we had a big barbecue today. I was there for like 2 hours. I was there at like 7 o'clock. And then I'm like, "Hey, I gotta run." He's like, "Where are you going?" I was like, "You're gonna be home for 3 weeks. I'll see you." He's like, "Where are you going?" I'm like, "I gotta go to Lorraine. I gotta go wrestle." Like, what the fuck? It's like, you'll be alright. You'll get over it. I'll see you in a couple of days, and then you'll be home for good in November. Not a big deal.
Huh.
But, you know, I tell you what, the crowd at the IWA Ohio show, probably one of the rowdiest crowds I've ever wrestled in front of.
Well, that's always fun to wrestle in front of a loud group of people. Isn't it?
Well, all right. Here's the thing, though. It wasn't rowdy in the way that you would think. Like, the show's at a bar, okay? Out back on the patio. And so people, I mean, there was like 75, 80 people there, which I've wrestled in front of crowds that were bigger than that,
but
I've never wrestled in front of a crowd that was that boisterous and that rowdy. They weren't really into it. The thing is like, they were into it, but they were only into it so much. And part of it was, is they were the type of crowd that would shit on everything.
Okay.
Like, if you were a heel, and you're trying to get heat, and you jab them a couple of times pretty good, they'll cheer for you. So it's really hard to get the proper kind of heel heat. It was really hard. I managed to get a little bit, though. Because I have my one gimmick who's billed from Baltimore, Maryland. And if you know anything about Cleveland, Ohio, and the city of Baltimore, we have a bit of an issue.
Like each other.
Yeah. No, they don't like each other at all. So, yeah. So that was kind of a thing in my favor. And then the city where the show was at, Lorain, is just down the road from another city called Elyria, and there's a bit of a rivalry between Lorain and Elyria. And so it's easy if you sit there and dog on Lorain and say that Elyria is better, because both of them are like shitty towns. Like, they're really kind of run down. They were real industrial towns before all the industry left Ohio.
Uh-huh.
It's really easy to get under people's skin there. So, I mean, I got the heat a little bit, but I got invited to come back and be a permanent fixture on the roster. So,
well, good for you. Congratulations. You must have done.
I tell you what, when you start running Canadian All Pro, please get a ring bigger than 12x12.
12x12 not big enough for you?
No, it's weird. It's really weird working in a 12x12 ring. Because a 12x12 is just big enough that you can get some spots off.
Yeah.
And make it look good. But you have to be really aware of what the hell you're doing and where the hell you are.
Well, that's the standard size for European wrestling, isn't it? 12x12?
I think it's 14x14.
Oh.
Because our ring in UXWA is 16x16, and it's a perfect size.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and 12x12 was nice because all the action is pretty compact, and you're right, you know, it's right on top of you.
Mm-hmm.
So it was nice, but it was really weird kind of adjusting to that size from working, you know, from the majority of when I've wrestled in a ring that was anywhere from 16x16 to 20x20. And I don't like working in 20x20 rings. That's way too fucking big.
Okay.
I don't like working in rings that big. Like 16x16 or 18x18, perfect. I'm good with that.
We'll like remember that.
Not that you give a shit. I'm just, you know.
Yeah, no worries, no worries.
So they let you out of your wheelchair tonight to come do the show?
Okay, you're not funny. I have problems with an 11-year-old boy who wants to commit suicide, and you want to make jokes about my age.
What the fuck?
Yeah, long story. Anyway, typical preteen angst. And
we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, just a whole bunch of, you know, you're about, what, 10 years away from having to deal with something similar, so. But anyway.
Shorter than that, 5, dude. She's 6.
Yeah, okay. Well, girls don't really start acting like that until they're like 13, 14. That's why I was giving you an extra couple of years benefit. But anyway, we're just about to talk. Matt Hardy suspended by TNA. What a shocker. Hey, Omega.
Thank you.
That was his fault. He blew out the Twinkie budget.
Well, it's not just the Twinkie budget. Repeatedly tasering Reba Sky. Do you think that might have something to do with it?
Maybe.
Rebby Sky, sorry, not Reba. I'm thinking Reba.
Something of a PR nightmare. There's video of Matt encouraging his brother to shock the hell out of his own girlfriend.
Yeah, there you go. And of course, he's spin doctoring it on his Twitter and his own little internet thing. Says, "Oh, the internet news reports make me laugh." Ha, ha, ha. You know, they're like, "Oh yeah, what? You're taking time off? You're making sure that Jeff remains healthy and rides his bike up and down the street all day?" I don't think so, Matt. You're going weird, buddy. Okay, I don't think you're ever going to hear us or listen to the show. Too bad. Yet you are going a little bit too weird for mainstream. Fix that, would you?
Nick.
Oh, Mike. Spuck, go ahead.
Nick, you know, in the late 90s and early 2000s, there was a bunch of us who thought that Matt and Jeff could one day be the tag team. Remember that?
Yeah.
We thought that Matt and Jeff could be the tag team. When you talked about greatest tag teams ever, you'd mention the Midnight Express, the Rock and Roll Express, LOD, and the Hardys, with the Hardys being at the top of the list. And unfortunately, drugs and alcohol and ego, because I think a big part of it is ego, have just wrecked that. And the real unfortunate kind of consequence of all this is that they've become so, I don't want to say reclusive, it's not the right word, but it's along the same vein, and I think you can kind of figure out where I'm going with it.
Yeah.
Is that they kind of hate everybody who isn't their fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's really not the right way to go about it, because when you pull stupid shit like this, you know, you're not going to get any sympathy.
Yeah.
If you had said, "Look, I was drunk, we were fucking around, and I took it a little bit too far," I think a lot of people would have been like, "I've been there. I have the mugshot to prove it."
Yeah, I've done a few silly things in my life. I've fessed up to it. I won't ever tell my kid, but, you know, I'll tell everybody else. And I don't think I want to say it while we're being recorded, you know, for posterity here, just in case he ever listens to the archives.
You were saying, Omega?
Yeah.
Wait, where was I?
You were saying something.
I'm trying to figure out. You were about to say something, or I was throwing it to you or something.
No, I completely lost the point. I have no idea what happened anymore.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, carrying on. I don't know if you guys saw this or read this or anything. Sting was actually talked to about Jeff Hardy, facing Jeff Hardy at Victory Road, and he was asked his thoughts. Here is his reply. And I quote, "I want to be careful with my words here because I really like Jeff Hardy. I'm hoping he can come back because that guy's so talented, but he has personal issues in his life and it just became too much for him, too overwhelming. And he just couldn't cope and didn't know how to handle it. So he made some bad choices. He's having to deal with those choices and the consequences. I hear he's doing much, much better. Last I heard, he was riding his bike 10 miles a day, just getting in great shape. And his life was getting into some kind of order." That's Sting's response to being asked his thoughts about what it went down at the Victory Road pay-per-view. How political do you have to be, Omega?
No kidding. Sting right now is in a difficult position because he has to be the biggest star on the roster, of course, and the highest paid. So whenever he's speaking publicly like this, he can't say anything against TNA, or like he can't go the negative route, because you know that there is some, there is an old school wrestler buried in Sting somewhere that's absolutely livid about that night, because it made everyone look bad, and it was all because of Jeff's personal actions. You know there is a wrestler in there that just wants one more match and just stiff the hell out of him the entire time.
Yeah.
But he has to be so careful with what he says, because he's still getting that TNA paycheck, and it's obvious TNA management still wants Jeff around despite, the court, the drugs, the completely ruined pay-per-view.
Yeah. Well, that just...
To be fair, that pay-per-view was ruined long before Sting and Hardy.
Yeah, they had enough good stuff going on that pay-per-view that it wouldn't have gotten shit on so badly if that didn't happen in the main event. If that was like four matches before a main event, then it wouldn't have been shit on as badly as it was. Seriously.
A lot of that is politics. And I give Sting credit for being able to hold his tongue, because if you look back through Sting's career, he is one of those wrestlers who has been able to play the politic game in the back. He really has been. I don't think he likes it much, but I think he's been able, he's able to do it.
Well, I have had to be very, very political on some issues in the past, and I'll tell you, it's no fun.
No,
not being able to actually speak your mind.
Yeah, politics in the back is never fun. It's never fun. I've had to play the game. I've left a couple of promotions here in Ohio over it because I hate playing that game. Absolutely, yeah. I hate playing the politics game, and you know me, I'm not very good at it.
Yeah, no shit.
So. But I give him credit. I give him a lot of credit for doing that. And playing the politics game. But I kind of wish in this instance he'd have just spoke his mind, because he did crowbar Jeff Hardy a couple of times in the ring, and I wish he'd have done it more. Because quite honestly, he deserved it. I mean, quite honestly. Jeff deserved every little bit that he got,
And more.
And I think...
The four moves that Sting put on Jeff Hardy were all stiff. You know that.
Oh, you could tell. You could absolutely tell. But I think that quite honestly, Sting really needs to kind of speak his mind, because at this point, both Hardy brothers are a cancer on the business. As much as people want to say backyard wrestlers and partially trained workers are a cancer, and they can be, but some of those guys really want to get trained the right way and work the proper way. And so you can't call all of them cancers, but the Hardys, man. The Hardys are just absolute cancers, and you have to get rid of them, and I wish Sting would have started the process.
Well, it just comes across to me. Yeah, it comes across to me when your press clippings come out, you're going to read them. You're going to want to know what people say about them, but I just get the feeling that they wrap their heads around their own press, and they're starting to believe it, Omega.
Yeah, pretty much. It's unfortunate because you're dealing with a guy like... you're dealing with Jeff Hardy and Matt Hardy. We know they have these enormous egos to begin with.
Yeah.
Let alone now when you've got so much black tape around them. I mean, they're just coming off really bad, because you're right. They do have this attitude like, if you're not with us, you're against us kind of vibe to them.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, well, anyway, it's time for us to take our next break. We're going to come back with the great debate. This is a brand new one. It's the most influential women in wrestling history. And while we're on a break, everybody in the chat room, go ahead and give us your votes on the who you think some of the most influential women in wrestling history are. Who knows, maybe the way girls you chose made the list. We'll find out. We're going to take her for our next time out. We'll be back right after this with the Great Debate. Don't go anywhere!
A certain passion. Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or Anything Goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons and Dragons with the geeks over to Talk We Talk Live. All you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
This is Bob the Farm Mage telling you to tune in to Otaku Talk Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. How am I doing this? Don't tell me I bent laws of space and time again. God damn casting magic missile.
Chrissy Annie, TNA Knockout.
I'm out here because I have something very important that I need to say.
And you're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network. Well, it's a do to say about it. They say it's new, but I
haven't got it. Oh, baby.
We're here on the PTRS Internet Let's Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And before I forget, a special shout-out to Midnight Man, and I'm assuming he's listening with his beautiful bride. And they're listening to us in high-definition audio tonight, Omega.
Nice.
So let's all say hi to Midnight Man and his lady. Hi, guys. Thanks for tuning
Hello.
In again.
Oh, Midnight Man, tell your wife she still owes me $250.
Why does she owe you $250?
Because I didn't have enough to break a 50 for the bitch.
And I just jump in with.
Now step into the room with
Spud.
Us for this week's great debate.
The budget on this show astounds me.
It's just incredible. Yeah, and I got nothing to do with it. I mean, that's all paid for by people clicking on the all the ads on the website.
Click them more. We need a bigger
click
budget.
Them as much as you fucking can, please. Anyway, yeah, so here we go. It's the first new Great Debate segment. For the first new Great Debate. And, of course, we're going to be looking at the most influential women in wrestling history. Tonight, we are pitting the Fabulous Moolah versus Mae Young. I don't like that one right there.
I hate that matchup.
That's going to be a killer matchup. What are you doing? And then, of course, we got China versus Penny Banner. I'll tell you before we even go any further who I'm voting for. And then, of course, Omega's girlfriend Lita takes on Missy Hyatt.
Whoa.
Yeah. And Miss Elizabeth squares off against Woman. We're going to start tonight with that last one. Miss Elizabeth taking on Woman. And we'll go to you first, Bug.
Woman was vicious.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw her with Kevin Sullivan, with Benoit, with Shane Douglas. She was vicious. Absolutely vicious. But I think, you know, Elizabeth paved the way for a lot of the women valets and managers, because I think without Precious or Elizabeth, what we have today, what you had with Sunny and what you had with Trish Stratus, not really possible. While Woman was influential in a way, not nearly as influential as Miss Elizabeth.
There you go. Okay, so your vote would be?
Miss Elizabeth.
There you go. All right, Omega.
I'm not sure there's any debate on this one. This is one-sided as hell for me. I mean, it's Miss Elizabeth.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of the prototypes of what the Divas would turn into. And she's not only one of the most influential, but one of the most memorable women in pro wrestling history, period.
Yeah.
And honestly, when your ring name is Woman, how much are you really going to get remembered?
Yeah, that's not like it's generic or anything.
Yeah, try Googling her sometime.
Woman.
She was supposed to tap!
Okay, not that we're going there. Anyway, okay, so you're saying Miss Elizabeth.
Elizabeth?
Miss Elizabeth.
Elizabeth?
Miss Elizabeth.
Apparently Tim turned Chinese on us.
Tim hasn't been able to talk all night.
No, actually, I did that on purpose and Spud caught it, so. Oh, if I could have your attention, please.
We know you got an email. Shut up and read it.
And I quote.
He's wondering what the email is.
I know what it is.
Are you sure?
Well, I don't know who the vote is for, but I know who sent the email.
Are you sure?
It's from Mace.
Yes, Mace chimed in with Miss Elizabeth.
The unknown comic.
Yes. And?
Snatch is awesome.
Right on, Alan!
Chimed in with Miss Elizabeth as well.
All right.
Is Alan joining us?
Not live. That was memorized. But
all I caught was part of it. Like, my phone was on my shoulder, and I heard Alan's voice. I was like, what?
Okay, listen. Go ahead. Do it again, Rock.
Snatch is awesome.
I love that clip.
Alan is showing his age. He's calling it Snatch.
Anyway.
Time to find out whether or not I make it unanimous.
Oh, we don't give a shit. We win.
Oh, shut up.
Make your useless vote.
Shut up. Shut up anyway. So here it is. You got Woman, who was very influential in her own right. And she was a very, very important woman to Southern U.S. wrestling. It was territory. It was. It was territory. Not a lot of people who didn't get Southern U.S. wrestling knew much of anything at all about Woman, really.
Until she came to ECW.
Until she went to ECW. Miss Elizabeth was known right from day one. She wasn't a wrestler, she was a valet, but she was more influential in that she was the valet to arguably the man who would have been number one in WWF if Hogan wasn't there. Miss Elizabeth makes it unanimous, guys.
You know, I want to say something real quick. I hear a lot of people call Miss Elizabeth a manager. She was never a manager. She was the quintessential valet.
She was
never a manager.
No, she was never a manager. Ever, ever. She was arm candy. But dignified and classy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there you go. Miss Elizabeth unanimously moves on. Now, it's the Battle of the Sluts, Omega. And
Who's opened their legs more?
This is not who's opened their legs more. This is not who slept with the most guys and other women. This is the most influential women in wrestling history, and that deals with wrestling, Omega. Keep that in mind when we pit when we pit Lita against Missy Hyatt. Go, Omega.
Oh God. I judge it based on who has more rug burns on their back.
No, I told you.
Well, at least Missy and Hyatt admits it.
Yeah, well, what's that? Keep it wrestling related.
You gotta give her that.
Yeah, keep it wrestling related, Omega.
She's given a lot of things, okay?
Stop that.
I don't think we can. It's going to be real hard.
Can they both
just
lose?
No, it's not. I'm not thinking of these two.
Yeah, can we just... can they both lose by DQ when we move on to the next one?
No. No, we have to pick one, unfortunately.
All right,
okay.
All right,
okay.
Do it.
I'm picking based on in-ring ability alone, or what they did for the ring.
Gave it herpes?
Thank God, neither could do a split. It'd catch fire.
You guys let me. I screw up. Can't take you anywhere.
Oh, God, I'm going to have to
pick Lita. Hang on, while we're at it, I need a smoke. Seeing as we're talking about Lita versus Missy Hyatt, I won't need my lighter. Go ahead.
I'm going to have to go with Lita. It pains
me. Oh, God, Brock, you have to clip that one.
And this is where we go.
Mace. Oh, if I could have attention, please.
Oh, shut up, Tim.
Go Rock.
The original wrestling slut, Missy Hyatt, says Mace.
Does he give a reason why?
No, he just, that's...
Okay. So we got 1-1. Spud, break the deadlock.
I have to agree with Mace. I have to agree with Mace and go with Missy Hyatt. Because like I said, at least Missy Hyatt admits it. And
you
make no bones about it.
Can't use that as a reason. Sorry, we already established the parameters.
Oh, dude, you can't fucking walk away from it. That's the thing about this one. If Missy Hyatt, I tell you what, she's loud, she's crass, and she's outspoken. What's not to like?
There you go. Crabs. I don't know.
Not crabs. Crass. Crass, you asshole.
I know you said crass. I said, you asked what's not to like. I said, I don't know, crabs.
See, here he dogs us for going there. And now, okay, of course, he can go there himself.
As I say, not as I do. I am a father.
This is where I
Listen. It's like the Alien versus Predators movie. No matter who wins, we all lose.
Yeah.
There you go. Go ahead, Rock.
Snatch is awesome.
Lita.
All right, Alan.
He picks Lita.
Lita. Oh, fuck, we're tied again. I gotta go with Missy Hyatt. Missy Hyatt moves on. She just had a little bit more going on in her career than Lita did. Lita, I think, was elevated first by Trish and then by Edge, only because she took the top.
She was
no credit to the Hardy Boys in there at all.
Now come on. Before she was a whore, she was a great wrestler for the women's division at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Xavier Rios really got her career going.
Missy Hyatt squeaks ahead, make the joke, Omega.
It's the one time I'm ever defending Lita, and you talk over it.
Yeah, I know. It's just, go ahead, defend Lita. I just can't wrap my brain around that.
I was just saying, before she broke her neck, she was fine. You know, she was in, you know, she could actually do things in the ring that the other divas couldn't. She could perform aerial maneuvers. She could actually perform at a fast pace. And now, you know, it was just after she broke her neck that she had to find other ways of using her neck to keep her job.
Uh huh.
Just unfortunate. It's unfortunate. I'm sorry. I'm right there with Spug. I'm trying to keep my head out of the gutter here, and I'm trying to get Lita voted into the second round so I can actually keep making jokes.
Well, hey, nobody's going to stop you from keep making jokes. I mean, think about all of the alternative jokes you can make about because she didn't pass the muster. They're there, man.
Somebody apparently failed to pass her the condoms, too.
There you go. All right. So, Missy Hyatt moves on. Next up.
Spug, she's infested, not pregnant.
Yeah, there you go. Next up.
Listen, condoms prevent STD, too, all right?
They're only
I know.
But they don't block radiation.
Oh, God.
Move on.
Moving along.
You can't do that to me when I'm driving.
Okay, like I said, moving on. The next matchup, the ninth wonder of the world, China, taking on Penny Banner. Spud.
I would like to move for an executive decision. I would like this changed. I would like to see Penny Banner versus Mae Young and Moolah versus China because I think the next matchup is extremely, extremely bullshit.
I would pretty much agree with that. Who the hell put that in the first round?
That would be Rock because he put the list together.
Rock, you dipshit.
Hey. I did give the list to Spock to approve.
I didn't. You didn't have the matchups on there. You just had the list.
No, I gave you the matchups too, and you just.
No, you didn't. You did not. You just gave me the list of names. You did not give me the matchups.
All right, Rock. What are we doing? We keeping it the way it is?
You can change it if you would like.
Fine. China versus Fabulous Moolah.
Moolah. All right. Well. While China, in her own right, is extremely influential and, you know, kind of competing with the boys and proving that a woman actually could compete with the boys, and while I think her stint as an Intercontinental Champion was more gimmick than actually serious, she is listed, and she did compete in the Royal Rumble, which paved the way for Beth Phoenix years later. But, that being said, how many women, from Sensational Sherry to Wendi Richter to Mae Young, were influenced by the Fabulous Moolah as one of the premier women's wrestlers?
Well, not just one of the women's wrestlers, one of the premier female heels of all time.
Yes. It's hard enough to be a heel as a guy. I can't imagine trying to be a heel as a woman in a male-dominated profession, like professional wrestling. So, while China is influential, and if she were against anybody else, I would vote for her. You can't bypass Moolah. You can't.
There you go. So that's one for Moolah.
Plus, she was a hottie back in the day.
Back in the day. Omega.
I'd pretty much have to agree with that logic. I mean, China, if we hadn't changed this match, she would be voted on easily.
Yeah.
But, you know, cause she kind of changed what it meant to be a diva. Not only moving up to the boys ranks, but just being like, you know, it was so rare that, you know, we didn't have a diva that was that physically dominant. Like, you didn't even think of her in the women's division for the longest time because she's just, she was on a different level.
Well, that's what you get when you dip into Triple H steroids.
Hey! No cheap shots here, buddy.
I'm sorry, bodybuilding supplements.
No, listen, I took one cheap shot at you tonight, and it wasn't that bad. Let's not go making accusations here.
There you go. Hey, fuck, read her book, she admits it.
China admits a lot of things, okay? I'm not going to take the word of somebody who did coke off of Sean Waltman's dick.
Okay, let's
just say it.
Let's put this into perspective. He's not defending China. He's sticking up for Triple H's steroid collection.
I'm sticking up for somebody who has never been proven. You want to make accusations? Go ahead. Go ahead. But at least say allegedly.
He's never taken one. Anyway, we're interrupting poor Omega. That happens a lot when Spug's on the air, Omega. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, it does.
I love you, Omega.
Fag.
We'll hug it out later, bitch.
Yeah, there you go. Omega, are you done or what?
Where was I?
Talking about,
Okay, yeah, China, revolutionary, yeah. Blah, 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 blah.
Yada, yada, yada.
No. Against Moolah, no chance.
Yeah. By country mile, it's Moolah, right?
Yeah, easily.
Okay. Well, seeing as we haven't quite yet received any emails, I think it's my turn.
We can't
I'm not even...
Hold on, Tim. We can't receive an email because you changed the matches.
Oh, yeah. Right. Well, that's not my fault, Dan. That's not my fault.
On this plan.
Dan, not my fault.
Just take what his vote would have been. We can guess what Mace would have voted.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I'm not voting for China. Sure. What's currently on TV that would have been influenced by China? Maybe the Glamazon, Beth Phoenix. That's it. Really.
You look at
the Diva division, and the Diva division really hasn't been touched by what China did.
That's not true. That's not true. Because China was influential in her own right, and I'm going to stick up for her a little bit here, because when you look at what happened while she was there, and while we all kind of want to shy away from it, they had Nicole Bass, they had Jazz, they now have Beth Phoenix, there's Nettie Neidhart, there's a lot of women who are bigger women and more muscular women who are getting hired by the WWE, and dare I say, Awesome Kong.
Well,
who are getting hired.
Now, leave Natty off that list. She got hired because of her last name. China.
It's not just her last name. The WWE, at a point, besides her name, would have never looked at Natty Neidhart because she doesn't fit the stereotypical, now we call them divas mold. Skinny, lanky. She doesn't fit that. Because of China, they've hired and kept more women who are bigger and more muscular because of what China did and the success she had.
Yeah,
we gotta give her the credit she is due.
Yeah, my point about China was she was on a completely different level as far as that all of that goes with influence and being influential. And besides, I don't have a 747 to fly into China, so I'm picking Fabulous Moolah.
So Moolah moves on?
Yeah, so here it is. A lot of people are wondering who the fuck Penny Banner is, and it's going to kill me if you two haven't got a clue, but Penny Banner takes on Mae Young. Omega.
Oh, and of course you'd go to me first.
Yep.
He hasn't finished Wikipediaing yet.
Asshole.
He's right. Isn't he? Yeah.
I'm driving home in my truck, and I'm like, I know what he's doing.
Penny Banner was, like, we're talking, like, 50s and 60s, and wrestling for women was a whole different ballgame back then than it was in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and today. It was a lot rougher. They were even less accepted. She was a pioneer along the lines of the fabulous Moolah and, to a lesser extent, Mae Young.
Didn't Moolah and Penny Banner have a feud in Memphis for a while?
They did. Now, this is way back when, you know, like, territories were territories and you didn't fuck around with each other's territory. And, actually, Penny Banner had several different feuds going on, almost simultaneously in all of the different territories that she worked, including Stu Hart Stampede Wrestling here in Calgary. And, they weren't.
I knew there was a Canadian connection.
Yeah, there wasn't any kind of special break or anything given to the women because they were women. They had to work twice as hard to prove that they could, compete in what was traditionally, you know, a man's domain. And, this is actually a very, very, very tough matchup. I would love just to call it a draw and say they're tied. Can't do that. Rob won't let it happen. Fuck. So hard. I gotta go with Penny Banner. Spud, you go.
You know,
he's still Wikipedia.
I'm all for voting for the pioneers. And, you know, I don't know a whole lot about Penny Banner. I'm going to admit that, but
I interviewed her.
From the little research I did do, she was a pioneer along with Moolah, and there's a lot of influences there and now from her, but her name, she's kind of the unsung hero.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, in this business, you don't get recognized unless nobody knows your name. And while Mae Young is known for the quirkier things, giving birth to the hand, you know, all the little backstage skits she does at WrestleMania and some other shows.
The only reason why today's kids know anything about Mae Young is because of her lifelong contract with Vince.
Because of the stupid shit she does. But the thing is when she got inducted into the Hall of Fame, and it was really sad that Moolah wasn't there, you know, Moolah had passed by that point, a lot of people went out and found out what Mae Young was all about.
Yep.
And I tell you what, Mae Young, while she wasn't a pioneer in the way that Penny Banner and Moolah were, Mae Young has done a lot for women's wrestling.
She was a tough little bitch in her own right when she was wrestling in her prime.
Yeah,
and that's
I have to give the vote to Mae Young.
So there you go, 1-1 Omega.
Good Lord, I almost wish we had kept Moolah versus Mae Young.
See, I was right by putting them together.
That one was difficult in principle. You know, this one is just insidiously difficult. God.
Look at you with this Scrabble word tonight, sir. Now if I can just figure out a way to work sanctimonious into something.
You sanctimonious prick. Get off your high horse.
No. You don't get to use that. It's my word tonight.
Do it. I beat you to it.
Yeah, just he needs to wait for someone to step up on a soapbox.
I do that quite often.
Yeah, you do.
Fuck you. Shut up, Mr. Pick.
No, stop. I want to insult you more. It gives me more time to choose.
Shut up and make your pick.
You know what? Oh, God. This, you know, this, God, either way, it's going to piss me off. Penny Banner.
I love making Omega make decisions like that.
There you go. I'm waiting.
He picked Penny Banner.
I know, but I haven't heard why.
That's why.
In the long term, she does have more influence, even if she wasn't as mainstream as Mae Young has become.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up!
Yeah, she also happened to be a very wonderful woman. She actually sent me her biography, her autobiography. I still have this book, and it's a very good read. It's not very well written. I mean, grammatically, it gets to be a bit of a chore to read sometimes, but it's a really good story about her life in the world of pro wrestling.
Speaking of not fun reads, don't pick up Death Clutch.
Death Clutch?
Yeah, Alan sent me his copy of Death Clutch that he got sent. It's the Brock Lesnar autobiography that Paul Heyman helped him write.
Oh yeah.
I'm about three quarters of the way through it, and it's self-righteous, sanctimonious, you know,
See, you worked the word in.
I did. Triple word score for me.
You weren't even thinking, it just kinda happened.
That's one of those books that, oh my god, he glosses over, he kind of gives the high points of what he did in wrestling, but he doesn't go into any real detail. But I tell you what, you start getting into the parts about UFC, and he'll go into all kinds of detail about that. I'm like, dude, really? You know, that was being WWF was as much of your career as UFC is. It's really one of those reasons where I just want to punch him in the face and go, could you be any more of a self-serving asshole?
Well, there
you go. That's my job.
So, there you have it. Mae Young moves on.
Penny Banner. You voted for Penny.
Yeah. Sorry. Penny Banner moves on. Fabulous Moolah moves on. Missy Hyatt moved on. And Miss Elizabeth moved on.
Yes, and this is where I'm trying to find the list of next week's list that I sent.
I was trying to stall long enough while you were looking for it.
Yeah. Stephanie McMahon versus Sunny.
Huh.
Medusa versus Trish Stratus.
Uh-oh.
Precious versus Wendy Richter.
Oh, shit.
That's a good one.
Sherry versus Sable.
Those are good matchups, and they're not changing.
No. I'm kind of hoping to see Sherry versus Wendy Richter one more time, though. That's no shit.
Anyway. That being said, time for the last little bit of the night, and looks like it's being taken out of my hands because
you're never
I have
here.
To answer some questions or some bullshit.
You're never here anymore, so it's out of your hands.
What?
You haven't been here anymore, so it's out of your hands.
Yeah, well, fuck you.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
We will start with Spug this evening. Spug, what is the number one key to be successful in wrestling?
Personality. A lot of people think it's how many moves you can do, or how hard you can do them, or how real you can make it look. No. It's all about personality. If you can make the crowd buy into what you want them to buy into, you'll
Let's
get over it.
Cena sucks. Let's go, Cena. Cena sucks.
That's not even it, man. That's legitimate, you know, that's legitimate idiots in the crowd with the Cena sucks chance. That really gets on my nerves.
Oh, don't worry about it. We're all Vancouver Canucks fans.
Dude, we'll talk about that off the air.
Let me tell you, all the guys that yell out Cena sucks, they're a laugh riot.
Like, no.
Get it? See what I just did, right?
You can get the wrong kind of heat. Sean Waltman, Jeff Jarrett, there's a list. You know, there's a list. But when you can get the vitriol and the venom and even the admiration of a crowd all at one time, you've done your job. And Ric Flair is probably one of the masters at this. Because if you listen to any Ric Flair promo, one, it had personality, it had psychology, and three, if you listen to his old NWA ones, he's got the crowd in the TV studio cheering, booing, and, you know, a mixture of everything else during his promos. And Ric, you know, that personality is probably the biggest key to being successful.
Well, there you have it. Omega. With all the recent 3-hour Raws we've had, what is your favorite special edition of Raw in the last year?
Special edition of Raw in the last year?
Yes.
The one where they went 2 hours.
It's becoming very special these days.
Yeah, the one that ended on time.
Those things kind of blend together in my head. I tend to always like the draft every year, or at least every year they have a draft, because, you know, it's a promise of change, and it is a little bit unexpected.
No love for old school Raw?
Oh, that was a good one too.
That's a good one too. I am a fan of the draft though.
All right, there you have it, Tim.
Oh, shut up.
Speaking of old school.
Tim, did you shed a tear when Tyson Kidd shaved his head, or was it about time?
I have
the
no
forehead pubes.
I have no feelings about it either way.
None whatsoever.
You really honestly call that shaving his head?
Absolutely, honestly, I just really don't have any feelings about it one way or the other.
You're not going to get him to say anything against a fellow Canadian.
I don't think it counts as shaving his head if it can take if it only needs one pass.
Not even a full one of that.
No, not even the trimmers. Just like the normal electric razor.
Oh, fuck, all he had to do was sneeze and he got rid of it.
The pink forehead pubes.
Yeah, he didn't actually shave his head, he just put his baseball cap on too fast.
Yeah, I don't have any feelings one way or the other.
Okay.
It was distinctive, it made him stand out, you know, now he's going to have to rely on his wrestling ability. Good luck with that.
Yeah, his wrestling ability.
He doesn't have much.
And whoever they find as a manager for him.
You know, somebody's going to get bitchy about what I just said and take it for, like, you know,
yeah,
face value.
So I went back and watched, like, Estrada's return. It's just so disappointing. There's no accent or anything.
I know, that was quite sad.
Armando Estrada. Everyone, listen to me.
They will listen to you, Spug. What's your strip? What would your stripper name be?
This had to be a question from CB Radio last night.
Nope.
Oh, no,
not it wasn't. No, it's not.
Daddy Warbucks.
Only because I saw this on an episode of iCarly and I thought it was funny, I would go with Jackson Colt.
You're supposed to take your first pet's name and the name of the first street you lived on.
You tried that one night. Didn't work out.
I would be Susie Water.
That works on so many wrong levels.
So apparently I would be a squirt queen in porn, but, you know.
Yeah. Mine would be Patches Grafton. Like, Patches Grafton.
So, wait, you're a doctor who makes terminally ill children laugh? Yeah, didn't think
that
so.
That didn't work.
I'm just busy smoking because...
We tried this one night. We found out my porn name was Snowball 108th Street.
Snowball 108.
Didn't work.
That's a lot of coke you'd be doing.
Omega, what are three animal qualities that you wish you had?
Three animal qualities?
Yes.
The ability to lick his own balls.
It's probably a good thing human males can't do that. Nothing's ever been done.
I want flight.
Sorry, Bob, I gotta clean myself. Hold on.
I want flight, so it's gonna
you
happen.
You were clean 10 minutes ago, now you're just on vacation.
Okay, see, number one, I want to fly like an eagle.
Through the sea?
Fly like an eagle.
Let your spirit carry you?
Something of that nature.
Okay, so you want wings.
I want wings. Give me a Red Bull.
Kotex, by the way.
So many wing jokes. Let's see, I want to fly like an eagle. Let's see. You know what? I need gills so I can swim underwater forever.
God, you're a fucked up looking animal.
And I want a pig's ability to have an hour long orgasm.
That's only
what?
Female pigs. Female pigs can have orgasms that last an hour.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Pigs only have sex for procreation, not recreation, the fucking dumbasses.
Hey, I only want the abilities, not the habits.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
And finally we
that's
go back
one
to...
Dude, that's one messy facial.
And going no, back to...
I can just see Omega's female now. Are you done yet? I look like a fucking Krispy Kreme.
Okay, hang on. Let me get you a towel. Backstroke.
The first time Omega forgets about it, he shoots his load off. He goes to walk into the bathroom to clean up, and there's just this white trail.
Moving on.
Oh my God, we're lost in the. How we find our way back through the woods? Oh wait, I have an idea.
I'm scared to take yes Tim his last question at this point. I think we lost Smug.
I kill you.
He's still driving. That might have really done it this time.
No. Thank God I'm sitting in my driveway.
Nice timing.
Yeah. So
I've been home for about 10 minutes.
So, Tim, for all the morons out there, you have 60 seconds. Tell everyone why this show, Russell Talk Radio, is
radio.
So iconic.
Oh, fuck. You would have to do that to me, wouldn't you?
Yes.
And we are actually addressing certain morons in particular, aren't we?
Yes.
Okay, well, can I preface this by saying, don't take it wrong, certain individuals. This is not a shot at you. This is a shot at somebody else. Why is WTR considered iconic? All right, here we go. Number one, it was the first internet wrestling webcast that actually didn't only... provide live, you know, we weren't the first ones to go live. We were the first ones to go live regularly without using a third party
thing. We did it ourselves, and everybody would come to us and say, well, how'd you do it? Can you help me out? And I'm, of course, you know, like saying, sure, you know, yeah, I'll help you out. No worries. And then, you know, getting shit on afterwards by certain, by those people. We're the first ones to experiment with actually presenting live video during our shows. We would turn on, turn on the video cam at Bottoms of the Sports Pub while we were doing live remotes there and stream us sitting at the table. Everybody could see us and everybody would wave and stuff like that. You got to see independent professional wrestlers for Stampede Wrestling. You got to see all the famous people who used to be professional wrestlers for WCW, WWE, ECW, whatever. They'd come on in to Spencer's Bar, sit down with us. You got a chance to actually see them when you tuned in to WTR Sunday night. And we were the first ones to do that with the video. We were the first ones to actually experiment with allowing people to call in live to the live show to interact live with everybody and everything that was going on. We were the first ones to use a full-time dedicated chat room. Is my 60 seconds up yet?
Yes.
There you go. It was up a while ago. And those are just some of the reasons why WrestleTalk Radio can be considered iconic. And yes, I am going to give props to David Thomas, also known as Dr. William Maybrick, and Jeff Jackson, better known as JJ All Cap Sex A of WNL and SNS fame, is they were in on it too, and they helped in their own ways. And I haven't even touched on some of the regular huge names that we have interviewed over the years on WrestleTalk Radio. Bigger names than a certain Monday Night Jerk Off podcast talk to. We aren't talking about, you know, people who are on the real Desperate Housewives. We're talking about, like, real professional wrestlers, icons, legends, current stars working in WWE. We were privileged enough to actually be able to talk to these people when there was that moratorium out there where, okay, you're not talking to internet wrestling shows. Oh, wait a minute, WrestleTalk Radio? Yeah, you can talk to them. We had that reputation. And you want to say we're not fucking iconic? Shut your mouth and go play with yourself. Wait a minute. Here's a magnifying glass. See if you can find it first. Does that work for you, Rock? Do you feel better?
Yes, I kind of do. See, I really, really do.
That sort of helped. That cheered you up.
Yeah,
right?
I kind of did.
Okay, there you go.
Now we're up the show up.
Well, that's it. Another edition of WTR Sunday Night, Russell Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Hey, Money in the Bank is coming up. Anybody know that that's in July? What is that, the 17th?
Something like
that.
I think
so. Uh-huh.
Yep. We'll be on right after that. Let's see. TNA's got something going on pretty soon, don't they?
Yeah, Destination X. We'll talk about that in a couple weeks.
Yeah, we might actually talk about that pay-per-view after the pay-per-view.
It actually looks good.
So
it actually does look really good.
Well, you know, Destination X, I have to admit, that's if I have to pick a favorite TNA pay-per-view, that's it. It generally delivers. But, of course, you know, it's because, you know, they have always highlighted the X Division, which was what put TNA on the map. Take a hint, motherfuckers. Get back to it.
Tim, let me just throw this out there. Styles versus Daniels, Jerry Lynn versus RVD, Samoa Joe versus Kazarian.
Okay, now if that's not worth checking out, then you're fucked.
But you know what else is worth?
This up, I need to go get laid.
You know what else is worth checking out? OWW Radio.
Yes, especially
Jay Lethal.
Especially this Tuesday night, yeah. Jay Lethal, Black Machismo.
Live and in Allen's house.
It's actually going to be at Allen's house. Sitting down with him and picking on Allen in person.
And he's going to talk everything.
Uncensored, unlike certain people who like to think they have worldwide exclusives. Oh, that pisses me off. That's another thing that made WTR iconic. We were the first one that did simulcast shows with other internet wrestling shows. Wrestling News Live. And to read that say, oh, it's first ever simulcast. Fuck you. Anyway, go ahead.
Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. Omega?
Yeah.
Wednesday?
Wednesday, OTL, back to its regular time.
Yay!
We're still waiting for the first fatality from the Spider-Man musical.
Yeah, we talked about that at the beginning of the show. You missed it, Spark.
By the way, I have something for Wednesday's show.
Uh-oh.
The Zodiac.
Zodiac.
Geek Zodiac.
You're gonna talk about the killer? Cool.
No.
The Zodiac.
Yeah, the Chinese Zodiac.
Yeah, Zipper over his head mask.
So that's Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern for Otaku Talk Live.
Oh, can I tell everybody what's happening Thursday night?
Sure.
Okay, currently Sweet Black Call. Next.
You never know, we might bring back random DJ night.
Yeah, I've had a few requests, and so have Rock. We've got
PM.
A
few
of that.
PM.
And Saturday night, CB Radio, midnight-ish. Tune in for that. And,
yeah.
Next Sunday?
A little bit more WTR, Sunday Night Roast Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'd like to say thank you to everybody who bothered to tune in. For those of you who are school teachers or teacher's aides, welcome to summer break. Remember, enjoy it. It doesn't last as long as everybody who's not a teacher thinks it does.
Rock, Saturday night, tap out the knockout.
Oh, yeah, we're doing UFC.
There's a hell of a fight card this weekend.
All right, we're going to talk UFC, too, so check this out. And, I got nothing. Tim?
We're out of here, okay? I don't care what you do, but you can't stick around. See ya.
WildTalkRadio.com.